Kings of Macedonia, Alexander the Great, Battle of Issus, Part 4. Now, the battle had started when we were here the last time, so Alexander and his Hypaspes drove past the Cardacus, in fact, facing them. That created a space on the north bank, permitting the companions, the Paeonians, and other horsemen to walk their mounts across the river and form up on the other side. The king left the fighting line and joined the companions, jumping onto the back of Bucephalus, or one of his other horses. He then led them to a new attack, not pushing straight forward, but slanting towards the enemy center. Some of the Hypaspes and the closest pikemen were also starting to do that. Cavalry did not do well in frontal charges against decent closed infantry, which is another reason why an initial charge on horseback is unlikely, but could be devastating coming in from the flank. The Persian center began to break up. Alexander headed towards Darius, facing a fierce combat against cavalry led by the Persian king's brother. It may have been there that he took a sword wound in the thigh, and it is probably the confrontation between the two kings that was depicted in the famous fighting, later reproduced as a mosaic at Pompeii. Interpreting art is inevitably subjective, and some would see an artist's sympathy for the Persian faced with rampaging Alexander in the work, while others see only a celebration of Macedonian triumph. What matters was that Darius fled, abandoning chariot, cloak, and equipment, and escaped. It was a blow to his prestige, but not a fatal one, for he remained king of kings with huge resources at his beck and call. He escaped to fight another day, as did some of his army. The mercenaries formed in the groups that stuck together and still showed fight, deterring all but the boldest pursuers, while the other Macedonians hunted for easier prey. After the slow advance and the fighting, the day was long spent by the time the battle was over. And although the pursuit lasted into the early night, darkness and a relatively small number of Macedonian and allied cavalry limited the damage inflicted. Even so, it was appalling, but the dream of any mounted soldier is a fleeing and helpless enemy who can be slaughtered at will. The memory even for the victors assumed a nightmarish quality, so that in his history, Ptolemy later claimed to remember crossing a gully on a mound of enemy dead. Arrian claims 100,000 Persians died, a figure in keeping with the vast totals for an entire army, and no doubt inflated. The Macedonians were also very heavy, although in this case Arrian does not give us an overall total. Other sources suggest that about 450 died, and a third of them in cavalry, and 4,500 were wounded, producing an overall casualty of about 12 to 16.5%. Issus was not a subtle battle, but a head-on slog on a narrow frontage for armies of this size, where success can become, and success came because the Macedonian army was more skillful, more confident, and better led. Alexander took care in his approach and preparations for the attack, and once the breakthrough occurred, he exploited it. This was less about grand tactics than the small details of the battle. Leading an infantry and then cavalry charge in person suggests he did more than other battles, although it's always that he relied heavily on his officers to do the right thing, keeping an attack on their own initiative since he couldn't direct them while he was doing this. They didn't let him down, and neither did his soldiers. While he again displayed courage and skill expected of the son of Philip, compared to Granicus, this was far more important battle and a far greater success, for Darius and his great army had been routed. For Alexander, this was just another big step out of Philip's shadow. Once again, Alexander went to visit the wounded, talked to them, encouraging and praising, and listening to their stories. Given the sheer numbers, this took a lot of time, but was a mark of his care and reinforced the sense, deeply rooted in Macedonian society, that they were comrades regardless of rank. His own wound was a visible reminder that he had played, although it did not appear to have been serious. A parade to witness the honorable burial of the fallen, given the opportunity for mourning and amid pomp and ceremony celebrating the victory. The Persian camp was, of course, overrun during the pursuit, even though Darius had sent much of the baggage to Damascus. The luxuries they found still staggered and excited Macedonian soldiers. Alexander returned from pursuit bandaged and covered in dust, sweat, and spent the night in Darius's tent, first washing in Darius's bath, only to be corrected by one of his companions who pointed out that it was now Alexander's bath. Seeing all the luxuries of Darius's tent, Alexander arch This, as it would seem, is to be a king. End of quote. The sound of wailing came from close by, and asking what it was, he was told that it was Darius's mother, wife, and children, who believed he had been killed. Alexander sent one of his staff to assure the royal family that Darius was alive and free, and that they were all safe and would receive every honor from him. This encounter became famous, allowing plenty of romantic embellishments. Some said that on the next day, Alexander went in person to see the women, who mistook his taller friend Hephaestion for the king. They were embarrassed when their mistake was explained, but Alexander told them not to be concerned, for Hephaestion was also an Alexander. Darius's infant son was supposed to have come boldly to the conqueror, allowing a scathing comparison with his cowardly father. Alexander was true to his word in treating the Persian king's family with generosity and respect, and his refusal to abuse his power was as much praised as a sign of his virtue and self-control, not the least by Darius's wife, Cytherea, who was accounted as one of the most beautiful women of her day. In later versions, Alexander is supposed to have refused ever to see her or hear about her beauty, and there was great admiration for his restraint and respect in dealing with women. Yet there is one jarring note in the tradition. Cytherea subsequently died, and our source dates this to about 31 BCE. While Justin and Plutarch both claim that this was after a miscarriage, the dating may be wrong, as may be the cause of death, and no source comment that the story conflicts with earlier tales of restraint. An element of mystery must remain, and we are unlikely ever to know whether Cytherea really became pregnant after her capture, whether this was seduction or rape, or so whether Alexander or someone else was the father. There was a good deal of wealth in Darius's camp, and even larger amounts were acquired when Parmenio and a fast-moving column overran Damascus before the main treasury and baggage train could be evacuated. Among the captives was Barsine, Memnon's widow, and Parmenio sent her to his king. Alexander must have encountered her while she and her father were refugees at Philip's court following the satrap's revolt, and she was his own age or a little older, attractive, intelligent, and comfortable in Greek language and culture, as well as those of Asia and the Persian court. Perhaps the young prince had liked or had been attracted to her years before. Our Parmenion was simply a good judge of his inclinations, so Alexander took Barsine for his mistress. Plutarch preserves the tradition that Barsine was the first woman that Alexander took as a lover. She remained his mistress for a long time, providing him with a son. Little more is known about the relationship, but she appears never to have altogether fallen from favor. As a rule, Alexander did not welcome gifts of prospective lovers, angrily replying to subordinates when they sent him young, handsome boys, so the incident suggests that Parmenion had a surer feeling for the king's mood than many others. It is interesting that the Issus campaign has no story of the young monarch overruling the cautious advice of the veteran, and instead Parmenion led all the most important independent operations and controlled the left of the army during the battle itself. In the months after his defeat, Darius communicated directly with Alexander for the first time. This in itself acknowledged Alexander as more than a mere barbarian raider, and the Persian offered alliances as well as a large ransom for the captured family, but not permanent grant of territory. Alexander's response was to reiterate the justice of the Greek cause in seeking vengeance, and accused Darius of involvement in Philip's murder. His victory showed that the gods approved, and the land he had taken were now his. Their inhabitants and the prisoners he had taken, his subjects, to be cared for as a good king should. Asia was his, so Darius addressed him as its lord, and not dare treat him as if he was an equal, but come as a supplicant for, quote, if you claim the kingship, stand your ground and fight for it. Don't flee. I shall pursue you wherever you are. End of quote. Now we will begin looking at the next section of the campaign, which a lot of people don't really have much information on, which of course is going down towards Egypt. So we're going to have to deal with the Persian navy at Tyre and going through Palestine and then going to Egypt to see if the Egyptian priest will recognize him as a god. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. Some additional sources for the sections on Alexander rules would include, of course, Arians, The Campaigns of Alexander, In the Footsteps of Alexander the Great by Michael Wood, The Wars of Alexander the Great by Haeckel, and The Story of Alexander's Empire by Mahaffey. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.